Amen. Good morning. Thank you, Jim Thacker, for the beautiful horn playing this morning. Welcome, everyone, to this service of worship. I want to welcome you to Tabernacle United Church, coming to you right into your homes this morning. Thank you all for joining us this morning. If you are joining us via Zoom for the first time, we're glad that you've stepped into this space of worship. And if you are joining or visiting for the first time, feel free to put in the chat box of the Zoom meeting any information. You can send it to me personally, or if you don't mind sharing it with the group, you can send your information and I can be in touch with you that way. But we're also just glad to welcome all of us here, folks joining us from near and far this morning to worship. God, the Spirit of God is a uniting spirit, and we are joined together. Though we are physically separated, we are together in spirit and in worship. So welcome to this time. I have just a few announcements this morning. I want to, first of all, I'm really excited to welcome Reverend Kim Kendrick this morning for preaching. We're so glad that Reverend Kim is back. She preached for us in December of 2019, and she decided to come back. So we're so honored that she's here. She's not only a friend of mine and a beloved colleague, but also is just a powerful person with and doing some really amazing ministry right here in Philadelphia and outside of Philadelphia. Just a couple things about Pastor Kim. She is working currently as a chaplain at Bethany Children's Home in Walmelsdorf, Pennsylvania. Pastor Kim is a graduate of Lancaster Theological Seminary and with a Master of Divinity degree and her certificate in youth and young adult ministry. Pastor Kim is a certified trainer in our Whole Lives curriculum, conducting workshops on human sexuality and spirituality for youth and young adults. And in 2016, Pastor Kim was called upon to be the chaplain for the National Youth Event in Orlando, Florida, and was also the closing preacher during General Synod in 2017. In her spare time and joy time, Pastor Kim is a chauffeur, a tickler, a karaoke partner of three brilliant nuggets, 1 8-year-old and 2 2-year-olds twins. Amen. So we are so grateful for Pastor Kim sharing with us this morning. And I know we will all really look forward to hearing the word from her in just a little bit. So welcome, Pastor Kim. Welcome. Also, just a few other announcements to share with you. Today is the Peace Walk, the 17th annual Walk for Peace and Reconciliation, and it is, of course, going to be virtual. So we've been sending out information about that this week. You may have gotten something on the TAB news list or the Friday email. If you have not gotten information on that but would like to receive information, again, just send a note in the chat box and we will send you the link to register and be a part of that. It should be a special time of reflection, chants, music, and more. So even though it's virtual, it's a great opportunity to engage again in the Interfaith Peace Walk. So that is happening today at 2 o'clock, at 2 o'clock today. Second announcement, I want to highlight, as many of you know, we have been supporting the Juanita and Clive Thompson and their family. They're currently in sanctuary at FUMCOG, still there in sanctuary, and have of course been experiencing, as many people who are in sanctuary, ongoing isolation and quarantine for being in sanctuary. And so they are continuing to fight for an end to their deportation order. What many of you know is that quarantine has interrupted the Thompsons' fundraising dinners, which is really what fueled their ability to pay their monthly expenses. So they're now doing virtual dinners, and there is a dinner coming up this Friday. I don't have the specific times or link to that yet, but I will send that out to the congregation as soon as I get that, and also with a link to the GoFundMe page that they have. So let's continue to support the Thompson family and also to keep them in our prayers, as this is a really difficult time for them as well, as it is for a lot of people. Finally, I wanted to highlight that today, or this week, started Earth Day action items. There's a lot of climate action going on this week. And we at Tabernacle are going to join the UCC campaign to plant 50,000 trees in 1 week. So that is from April 17th to April 26th. As you know, trees are not only beautiful, but they are vital to producing and helping clean our air and to create a stable climate. And so the UCC is in the midst and is launching this campaign for us to plant, to contribute to planting 50,000 trees and over the course of 10 days. So we will also send information out. You can either organize to plant a tree yourself, or you can also pay to have a tree planted. So there's lots of ways to engage with that, and we'll be sending out information about that as well. Those are our announcements this morning. Let's continue now in our worship as we call ourselves to worship.
You join me in the call to worship. Good morning. We welcome you into this new space. We are not sitting in our beloved sanctuary, watching the patterns of sunlight move across the walls. We are not embracing our friends and shaking hands with strangers. Let us open our minds and hearts to new ways of connecting. Let us join together in ways of worshiping that are as old as our faith.
Good morning, everyone. Let's sing and celebrate the resurrection of Christ together this morning. I invite you to join me in singing.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones for whom he came. But on that cross, that we might live, he asked Jehovah to forgive. Amazing grace from Christ our Lord, here in the death of Christ I live. There on the ground, his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, I'm free. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This This is the power of Christ in me, from life's first cry to final breath. Jesus demands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Amen. This next song was inspired by Pastor Katie's sermon from last week. And if it will be new to all of you, but I invite you as you listen to it, and start to learn it to sing along, and to sing this chorus, recognizing that Jesus knows the suffering of the world and understands our pain. Let's sing together.
It matters to me that Jesus was born. He entered the world as a little child. It matters to me that Jesus taught. He ate with the sinner and the defiled. Sometimes I wonder if Jesus hears us. Does he know our pain? Jesus knows, Jesus knows. He lived and died upon the earth, and from suffering he arose. Jesus knows, Jesus knows. And he's calling us to live again, amen. Jesus knows, Jesus knows. Lived. He walked the earth, the path that we trod. It matters to me that Jesus doubted on the cross. He called out to God. And when I wonder if Jesus hears us, my soul sings this reply. Jesus knows, Jesus knows. He lived and died upon the earth, and from suffering he arose. Jesus knows, Jesus knows. And he's calling us to live again, amen. Jesus knows, Jesus knows.
God, take us as we are. Allow us our frustration, our exhaustion. Help us sit with our doubt until we can drop it like a heavy garment. Help us breathe. Please join me in the prayer of confession. God, we confess that we feel so far away from each other. We feel so far away from you. We feel far away from ourselves. Remind us that people have lived through far worse. Remind us that all around the world, people of all ages wonder if their lives will end this very day. Help us take our own discomfort just seriously enough. Help us believe in change. Help us believe that while we are grieved by various trials, as Peter said, you have always offered us living hope. Hear these words of assurance. The God who made us capable of doubt has made us capable of faith. The God who hears us confess our doubts will not abandon us to a life of wondering and fear. The God who made us will accept us as we are and as we will be. Thanks be to God. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are set free.
Friends, I invite you to join me in singing a song of celebration and praise this morning, a song by Andre Crouch from the gospel tradition called Soon and Very Soon. You may need to clap your hands, you may need to dance, whatever you can this morning. Let's sing together.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see our God. Soon and very soon, we are going to see our God. Soon and very soon, we are going to see our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see our God. No more dying there, no more dying there. We are going to see our God. We're gonna see no more dying there. We are going to see our God. Hallelujah, no more dying there. We are going to see our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see our God. Soon and very soon, soon and very soon, we are going to see our God. Soon and very soon, we are going to see our God. Hallelujah, soon and very soon, we are going to see our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see our God. One more time. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see our God.
Amen, amen. And the spirit of that praise and singing, and in the spirit of receiving the peace of Christ that comes to us when Jesus comes and offers us peace, we have that peace then to share with one another. So let's share the peace of Christ with each other. I invite you to go to gallery view in the corner of your screen, click on gallery view, and you can see everybody. Mm-hmm. Amen. Let's pass the peace of Christ.
Thank you.
Hi.
Nice to be with you.
Hey, have a good one, baby.
Thank you for having me.
There we are. There we are. We're always up in the corner. How come we got there?
Thank you.
Good to see you all.
Bless you, Laura.
Be with you.
No, the Valentine's right here.
Nicole and Elliot.
How are we?
Oh, Elliot.
Good.
That's really awesome.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Good. Be with you.
Oh, Geneva, peace be with you.
Hey, Nicole, Elliot.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hi.
Hi.
There we go. All right. Finally.
Hi, Oscar.
Hello, everybody.
Happy birthday, Jim.
Oh, my goodness.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
Who you guys saw, huh?
Okay, well, bye. Peace be with you.
Hello, hi, Dan.
Hi, Mitch.
Hi, Roy.
I find this really boring.
Okay, Mr. Paul, Oscar.
Be with you, Heather. Peace be with you.
Good morning, Levi.
Pack, please be with you.
Be with you too, Rob.
Pack.
I know.
Hi,
everybody.
I just can't see everybody.
There you go.
Hello, hello.
Thank you for unmuting me. I wasn't able to do it myself.
Please be with you. Fletcher.
Hi, Michael.
Somebody's outside.
Hi, Susan.
First reading will be 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, and I'll be reading from the New International Version because that's the first one that came up on Bible Gateway when I clicked it in. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Come and see, I am the way and the truth, said he. Follow me, come as a child, oh come and see.
Hi, everyone. Hello, children. I'm looking for you on my screen now. I want to see you because I miss you. let's see if I can find you here on gallery view. Oh, there you are. Oh, there's Levi. I see you. Here's Oscar standing next to me. I see Elliot. AJ's running around. Hello. Who else am I seeing?
Tonio.
Oh, there's Tonio. Yes. Hello. And I know Catherine and Aiden are here. I'm sure there are some other folks. So I can't hear you, but I can see some of you. I'm going to talk to you today about how God is like the wind. God is like the wind. Now, I want you, if you can, to get a little piece of paper somewhere in your house. You can just be a tiny little piece. It doesn't even have to be a whole piece. just a little piece of paper like this, something like this. Okay, now, yeah, you got a piece of paper too. Okay, now I want you to blow on it with the sound of a wind, like this, okay? All right, I see you doing it. See some of you doing it. Yeah, here, you do it. Blow. Good job, good job. Blow on it. So when you blow on the paper, what happens? It moves, doesn't it? It moves. When you blow on paper, it moves. It moves. So the word for spirit in the Old Testament or in the Hebrew scriptures is ruah, which means wind or breath. The same word for spirit, we talk about God as a spirit, is the same word for wind. And so our ancestors taught us that God is like the wind. God is like the wind. Now here's a question for you. Can you see the wind? Can you see the wind? No, you can't see the wind. Can you feel the wind? Yes, you can feel the wind. And can you see how the wind moves trees or moves leaves on a tree? Yes, but we can't see the wind. So that's also something that's kind of like God. We can't really see God in all that God is. We can't see all that. But we can feel God, and we can feel and experience God moving us and moving creation in all of the ways that God moves us. That's how God is kind of like the wind. Now, when God, even you have the opportunity, you have God's wind in you, which gives you the ability to blow and make things move too. So that's a reminder that we carry God's wind and spirit in us. And so when you go outside next time, maybe hopefully you'll go outside today a little bit. I want you to think about that when you go out today. When you feel the wind on your face or when you see the wind moving in the trees, I want you to remember that God is kind of like the wind and moves in us and helps us to be kind to each other and to love each other and even stay at home today for the sake of loving each other. So I want you to remember that, and I'm going to try to remember that too. Let's have a prayer. God, thank you for being spirit, wind, love in our life. Help us to remember how you move us and the power of your spirit. Amen. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Let your light shine bright to the world. You are a child of God.
Amen. This morning, let's sing a song that is our anthem, is our theme for this year, Be Thou My Vision, and remind ourselves of the ways that in which we are hoping to follow God's will and follow God's direction for our lives. Let's sing together.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be be thou my wisdom, be my thou true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my soul shelter, and thou my high tower. Raise thou me heavenward, O power of my power. Riches I heed not, nor vain empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only first in my heart. I one of heaven, my treasure thou art. I one of heaven, when victory is won, may I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that, Pax. Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning. I want to, first of all, give honor to God in whom I live, breathe, and have my being. I want to also say thank you so much to the shepherd of your house, Pastor Katie. Thank you so back. We go back like lawn. Thank you so much. We go back like lawn chairs. And so thank you, Pastor Katie. Thank you, Shell and Pax and Jim. And happy birthday, Jim. And thank you to the Tabernacle family, Tabernacle United Church of Christ. It's so good to be with you. I feel like you are my second home. Let me know if you cannot hear me. If you can hear me, that's great. Let me know if you cannot hear me. This morning's gospel is going to come from the Gospel of John. John, the 20th chapter, verses 19 through 31. John 20, verses 19 through 31. And it reads as follows. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked, bolted, shut down for fear of the coronavirus. Now, I know we are all used to, many of us are used to the NRSV and the NLT and the NIV. I also subscribe to the KIM. Amen. Amen. Y'all feel free to chat so I know that you're there when I see the little chats come up. They were shut down for fear. Amen. When they were locked together in the upper room, Jesus came and Jesus stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands, right? He showed them his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord, and Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As our Creator has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed. Jesus breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, those sins are retained." But Thomas, somebody say, "But Thomas." But Thomas, who was also called the twin, one of the 12, he was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples, they told him. The other disciples had to fill Thomas in, right? Saying, "We have seen the Lord." But then Thomas turns to them and says, "No, son. Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hand and I put my finger in that mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I ain't gonna believe." A week later, his disciples were again quarantined in the house And this time, Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, although folks were outside still not wearing masks, although the folks are still not social distancing, although people are still dying, although some states were open and some states were not, breathe. Jesus is still coming through. And Jesus still came through, and Jesus still stood among them and said again, "Peace be with y'all." And he said, and he turned to Thomas, said, "Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands." He said, Thomas, come here. You, Thomas, come here. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. And Thomas answered him and said, my God, my Lord. Jesus said, "Have you believed because you've not seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. Holy wisdom and holy word. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God. It's so good to see you. It's so good to be here. Will you all join me in prayer? We thank you, God, for all that has been seen, said, pronounced, and proclaimed, what's been heard and heartfelt in our time here this morning. As we approach this preaching time, dear God, settle our hearts, settle our minds right now. We thank you, God, for this privilege of your presence in all of our varying spaces. Open our eyes that we might see, dear God. Open our ears that we might hear. Open our hearts that we might receive what you say to us today. I thank you, God, for this holy assignment. Be with me, your servant, as we humbly take on this task. Allow this to be all about you, God, and nothing about me. I pray this prayer in the mighty and matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen. 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 So y'all know that this is you know, a new thing that we do right now. We are worshiping via Zoom. And so, you know, I'm used to feeding off of the energy. As an extrovert, I am used to feeding off of the energy, and I miss that. And so y'all just keep on typing, because I see you. I see everything. Grace and honor to the Reverend Dr. Geneva Butts. It's so good to see you. Blessings to you, as well as to my beloved, the Reverend Susan Webley is on with us as well. And I think my three nuggets might be out there somewhere. Casey, Carrie, and Corey with their other mom, Kimberly. It's so good to have you on and be with us today. And all of you. Praise God for all of you. Someone recently asked me, "How are you doing?" Are y'all getting that question a lot these days? How are you doing? Are people calling you with that? Are people texting you? Or are people emailing you with that question, specifically in the last 30 days? Yes. Thank you, Nicole and Elliot. Thank you. Yes. How are you doing is the question that's being asked. Thank you, Chris. Thank you so much. Yes. How are you doing is that question. Laura says yes also. Thank you. How are you doing? People are texting. How are you doing? Are you okay? We're checking up on each other. Yes. Every day, Fletcher's asking that question. Yes. How are you doing? Roberto says, yeah. How are you doing? And yes, as Pastor Sue says, yes, too. And people are responding, and people are emailing, and they're calling. How are you doing? And I don't know about you, but when I get this question, again, specifically within the last 30 days, my response has always been, I'm good. I'm fine. And I think that I even text back that emoji face, that smiling. I text back the emoji face and I type, I'm fine. But then I pause. I pause and I think to myself, Kim, are you really fine? Are you really doing well? And I'm asking you this morning, are any of us fine? Because nothing about our current situation, y'all, is fine. Projected unemployment is up at 22%. Over 32,000 people in the United States have died from this outbreak since the outbreak has started. Over 667,000 people are known to be infected with coronavirus. But we still don't have enough tests to know the infection rates for certain. Our president, our good president, 45, is more interested in his television ratings than offering competent and collaborative leadership. Working parents are home with their children, trying to be professional in their own fields while also being online teacher's aides on the side. A majority of our people of color are essential workers, overworked, because we have no choice. Medical professionals are also overworked and unprotected. On a Zoom call that I had that week ago, one of my clergy colleagues boldly said, "You know what? Time out. Hold up. You know what? I am not fine. I'm not doing well." She said, "I'm tired, I'm anxious, and I'm angry." She said, "Y'all, I'm tired, I'm anxious, and I'm angry." And when she paused the meeting and she said that, all I could say was, amen, amen. Because if I'm honest too, and maybe if you're honest with yourself, you too are like my colleague, or you're like myself, and you are tired, you're anxious, and you're angry. Yeah, I resonate with all those feelings too. That I'm not fine. You, family, are not fine. Because nothing about this world right now is fine. Many of you are already familiar with this story, with this what had happened after Easter morning story that I read into your hearing from the Gospel of John. The story about how Jesus's disciples are gathered, they're really sequestered when their resurrected rabbi shows up. Jesus makes an unannounced appearance to his BFFs, not once, but twice. But as we just heard, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, he wasn't present to witness that first unexpected visit by our Savior. A week later, when Thomas is back in the upper room with his boys, the other disciples tell Thomas all about what had happened. And upon hearing this news, Thomas balks. Thomas is like, "No, son, I've got to see the marks in his hands, those nail marks. I've got to put my finger in this marks. I've got to put my hands on his side if you want me to believe. Unless that happens, I'm not going to believe." And it's this exchange right here of the disciples trying to fill Thomas in. It's this exchange here that gives Thomas his nickname, Doubting Thomas. Y'all have heard that before, right? A Doubting Thomas. It's in this moment of skepticism, which evolved into this term that anybody that doubts also needs some proof. They need proof before they believe in something. And I just want to spend the small amount of time that we have this morning together sticking up. I want to stick up for our sibling, Thomas. I want to stick up for Thomas because I believe, yeah, Fletcher, that we all have doubt in these days. I want to stick up for Thomas because in this moment in our history, we are all are or we are becoming Thomas. So I want to reflect on the title of my sermon, We Are All Thomas. We are all Thomas. We are all Thomas. Thomas gets a bad rap, y'all. Thomas gets a bad rap because he wasn't at that first appearance of Jesus. And because he wasn't one of the first ones on the scene, Thomas has a cautious approach to believing. He has a cautious approach to believing. And my question is, and I'm sure a lot of you, when you read this, a lot of you are saying, well, why wasn't Thomas locked in the upper room with everybody else? Why wasn't Thomas in that room? Where was Thomas during the state's lockdown? Why wasn't he in the room? And where was the brother in the first place? The Bible doesn't tell us, family. The Bible doesn't say why Thomas was absent during the appearance. The text does not recall where Thomas was before the recurrence. But allow me, family, to use my holy imagination to deposit Thomas. I want to deposit Thomas into today's COVID-19 streets and state that perhaps, just perhaps, Thomas missed the first time that Jesus appeared because Thomas, like many of us, was an essential worker. Stay with me, stay with me. Thomas, like many of us, was an essential worker. That while others were sheltered in place, while some were working from home, when some were using this time as an extended vacation, Thomas spent every day since Jesus' death, every day since the state shut down, Thomas had to make a decision for his family to either go to work and risk his life or stay at home and have nobody eat. Thomas was an essential worker. There are many of us right now on the Zoom call that are Thomases. There are many of us in our families, our households, many of us in our churches that are essential workers that have a cautious outlook as they go out onto these COVID streets every day. A cautious outlook, family, does not mean that we don't believe. It means that we've got some prior experiences with being between a rock and a hard place. Can I push it? I was reminded earlier that some of us, family, were already predisposed to the spread of a metaphorical virus in some way. Some of us have already been exposed to a metaphorical virus in some way or another, predisposed to that virus called racism. How about that? Predisposed to the virus called poverty, predisposed to the virus called homophobia and xenophobia, predisposed to viruses that are created by humans, not by any form of nature. And this is how I imagine that Thomas in our COVID-19 streets of today is. Thomas is underpaid and undervalued. Thomas is possibly that person that's in housekeeping. He's possibly a bus driver. Maybe he's a nurse or a first responder, a food worker or a mail carrier. Thomas is one of us that's already fighting for a living wage and affordable health care. That's who Thomas is. Thomas is one of us that's been demanding quality education for our kids and safe streets for our seniors. Thomas is one of us standing up to the governments. Thomas is one of us that's standing up, not just to the governments, but standing up to our churches that want to police who we love and how we love, to organizations and to policies that are being created about what we do with our bodies. Thomas was one of us already in crisis, y'all, before this crisis. So forgive Thomas, if he was a little skeptical that after 3 years of devoting his life, 3 years of following Jesus with 11 other dudes, traveling town to town, seeing things that he never saw before, exposed to miracles unimaginable, learning, trusting, having his faith reshaped right before his very eyes, having his faith taken and developed and crafted so that his eyes and his feet and his heart followed his newly found Messiah. Until one day the stuff hit the fan. Because that's what happens a lot to all of us, right? One day, out of nowhere, stuff hits the fan. And our faith is shook. How many of you have ever had your faith shook by something? Whether it was an illness, a job, or another loved one. Circumstances all outside of your control. Shook. Here is Thomas having his faith shook, watching his brother, his teacher, his savior, be betrayed by one of their own, be imprisoned, beaten, and killed. My God. So when the others go ahead and they tell Thomas that Jesus, who had just died, had just been there, Thomas is like, no, son, we need to forgive Thomas. Thomas is saying, no, son, you telling me that we went through all this, he died. I thought that he was going to help us with this Roman Empire. I thought he was going to stand up. I thought all the votes were going to be counted and not bust out with the chads. Y'all go ahead and Google the chads later on. I thought that my candidate was going to win. I thought that we was going to get certainly more than this measly $1,200. I thought that we would be well, that my children would be taken care of, that my job would be secure, or that I would even have a job. I thought that there would be something different, but now the Savior, Rabboni, is now dead. I watched him get beat, and he's dead. And now you telling me that he was here? No, son, I need receipts. Thomas is saying, I need receipts. Which one of us has been that person? Which one of us has been that Thomas to cry out, Jesus, I believe, but I need you to help my unbelief. I need you to help my unbelief, because what I see and what I feel, I just need you to help my unbelief. Family, faith and doubt do coexist. I used to believe that it didn't, but faith and doubt, they do coexist. Our faith is far from perfect. Our faith, listen, y'all, our faith is far from perfect. And sometimes our doubts can just overpower us and manifest itself in such a way that we are constantly clicking through CNN and ABC and even FOX. We're constantly scrolling through our timeline, finding things and participating and liking and not liking and sharing. Our doubt sometimes takes over and overwhelms us so that we are frustrated. We have anxiety and we're anger. But sometimes our doubt can also push us to our knees and cause us to cry out to God, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. Because sometimes our faith is not enough. And so we cry out, God, help us to have enough. Thomas gets a bad rap, y'all, with this doubting Thomas name. And what Thomas and all the other disciples need in their encounter with the risen Jesus is what I believe is similar to what a lot of us need, and that's to hold on to that tension of faith and doubt. And that is our assurance. Sometimes we just need some assurance. Sometimes we need that extra, that God, are you really in the midst of all this? God, you really in the midst of all these requirements to get tested with this horrible killing, life-altering disease, that you've got to be a certain age. You've got to have a car. You've got to have health insurance just to get tested. Lord, our loved ones are sick, and we can't be by their side, by their side. So many have died and we haven't been able to mourn in the familiar ways. We're asking Jesus. This does not mean that our faith does not exist. We just need some assurance. Where do we place that grief? Where do we place that hurt when we are mourning, when we are feeling down? God, is this really you? We want Jesus to say, come here. We need Jesus to say, come here, come here, come here. Come here, come here. Come here, y'all lean in. Jesus, come here. Jesus, I need you to say, come here. I need you to say, take my hand. Take my hand. You see these nails. Come here, come here. We need Jesus to once again show his brown body to us and say, listen, here is my side. Come closer. Touch it. I want to make certain that as I leave you this morning, I share with you that there is nothing wrong, family. There's nothing wrong with wanting that assurance that Jesus, the Jesus of yesterday, The same one that was crucified, the same one that died, the same one that was buried is the same Jesus standing with us today, standing with the disciples of then. The same Jesus that rose up out of the grave with all power in his hands will be the same Jesus, my God. The same Jesus that stands with us today is the same Jesus that's going to stand with us through all this, through all these Corona streets tomorrow. We're all Thomas's family. We're all Thomas's. Three things and then I'm done. We're all Thomas's because even though the doors have been locked, Jesus was not shut out. My God. The doors are locked, but Jesus is not shut out. The Bible says that Jesus still came through. Jesus still came through, y'all, no matter what. Jesus shows up. How many of us in the midst of this pandemic, how many of you in the midst of this pandemic, with hell breaking loose, with death at our doorstep, with bills piling up, with kids and jobs or no job, with a bay or no bay, all of us are still experiencing Jesus coming through. My God, that Jesus is still coming through. Number two, Jesus brings peace. My God, peace be with you, he said. Jesus brings peace not once but twice, a peace that the world doesn't give, and y'all know the world can't take away. A peace that in spite of all the hurt and harm that is inflicted by humanity, that God's compassion and care, yes, the risen Christ stands in front of us. The risen Christ still stands in front of us, supplying us. We ain't got to keep on going to the markets. We ain't got to keep on going to Amazon. All of our needs are supplied. Yes, God gives us everything that we need. Everything is supplied already to this broken, sin-sick world. And those things are not in vain. Jesus brings the breath of life. Third and final, Jesus brings the breath of life. That same breath of life, family, is that breath of life found in the book of Genesis. That same breath that brings new life is that breath that was found in the valley of dry bones. That fresh wind of the Holy Spirit as an advocate, y'all, an advocate that will sustain us, an advocate that was sent for you and for me. Thomas's response to all of this, when Jesus shows his hand and he says, put your hand on my side, to all this response of Thomas, when Jesus shows up, what does Thomas do is what a lot of us will do now and in the coming days and rejoice. We will rejoice and say, my God, my Lord, my God, my Lord. That's the proof. When we rejoice, that's the receipts, y'all. When we still rejoice, even in the midst, we still rejoice. We still give God glory. We still give God honor. We still know that we serve the God that shows up no matter what, that it still holds our children no matter what, that still holds our bank accounts no matter what, that still holds our loved ones here and in the ever after no matter what. We still believe and we still rejoice that Thomas believes and he knows that no matter what, that God is still God. That our fear and our doubt push us forward. Through our joys and our laughter, our tears, Jesus still shows up for you and for me, even in these COVID streets, even in the upper room, in our living rooms, in our dining rooms, our bedrooms, even in our Zoom rooms, Jesus shows up. To God be the glory. Amen and amen. Amen. Amen, family. To God be the glory. Thank you. Holy wisdom, holy word. Amen.
Thine's the glory. Alleluia. Amen. Alleluia. Thine's the glory. revive us again. Alleluia, thine's the glory. Alleluia, amen. Alleluia, thine's the glory. Revive us again. Alleluia, thine's the glory. Alleluia, amen. Alleluia, thine's the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again.
I agree that Thomas got a bad rap for being what we now call an object-based thinker, which is the kind of person I am. And I admit that I really would prefer to give my offering every week in my little envelope to put it in the plate. But as we are scattered physically, we have other options for giving our offerings. We can mail them to the church where they will be collected and deposited. We can text any amount to the number 84321, and we can include whether this is a pledge or a visitor or other as we make the text. And we have a page on our website under the drop-down menu for donations, in which we also can say how they're given. I ask at this time that we make our donations as our way of showing our assurance in the grace we've received. Amen.
Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The Lamb of God calls me His own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly hosts, Creator Christ and Holy Ghost. Amen.
We accept the offerings that have been given out of our privilege, and we pray that they will be used to further God's purpose among our brethren and siblings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Friends, this is the time that we open up the space for sharing of our joys and concerns and testimonies. So we invite you to engage in this time of prayer by putting in the chat box your prayer concerns. And you can start doing that right now, and I will be reading out loud those concerns so that we can all hear them. I want to start off just with a couple of concerns that were sent to me. So I want to highlight those. And after each concern, we say, God, in your mercy, and you can respond with me, hear our prayer, so that each prayer concern, each thing that we lift up, we lift that up together. We lift up those concerns together. We're carrying one another's burdens. We are sharing our burdens so that others can carry them with us. We are sharing them and lifting them up to God, who is carrying our burdens and holding these things with us. So let's pray together. Our first concern comes from Mike Ealing, who is asking that we remember members of 12-step groups who are looking for face-to-face support, but whose groups are not meeting at all, or who are at best meeting online, and would like us to pray especially for those in recovery. So God, we lift up this request. Thank you, Mike. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Ralph Schmidt is giving thanks that his mother in Germany, who contracted the COVID-19 virus, is continuing to recuperate, and great thanksgiving that she is recuperating now and from that infection, and asking for prayers for all the people who are helping her. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Jim Gerhardt is asking prayers for his brother Andrew, who was tested this week and who awaits results. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Elizabeth is asking a prayer for her clients who are essential workers and having psychiatric emergencies as a result of the stress. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Lucinda is asking for prayers. I'm about to start doing live online teaching. Please pray for me and my students. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Nicole and Elliot are asking for prayers for the soul of doggy Tony. We needed to put him to sleep this week. He was a complicated animal, and this decision and loss was both complicated and agonizing. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Gina and Anna Antonio want to share that we closed on our first home in Iowa this week. Celebration, amen. While we won't be moving in anytime soon, we did plant the first seeds in our garden. Amen. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Greg Akins is asking, is giving thanks that their friend Christian in Iceland has been taken off the ventilator. Oh, amen. Praise God. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Susan Wargo is asking prayers for all the medical workers who are on the front lines. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Fletcher, gratitude that pronouncing the name right. Forgive me for that. Chaya's therapist has agreed to an online setting. This isolation has been tough. Thank you. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Kristen is asking prayers for her husband who broke his collarbone and waiting to schedule surgery. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Susan Wargo is asking for prayers for their niece, Betsy, who has just been confirmed to have COVID-19. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Michelle, prayers for residents in eating disorder treatment who are dealing with isolation on our campus. Pray for those whose families are struggling as their loved ones are in treatment. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Laura Jordan, I too am beginning online learning for the remainder of the school year. Please pray for me and the students who are special needs, that I can meet their needs. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. These are the prayers that we are lifting up. As we know, there are many prayers that are on our hearts. And so we know and have that assurance that God hears our prayers, even the silent prayers that we carry with us. Let's pray, let's sing together now as we lift up all these prayers that have been spoken, as well as the silent ones that remain on our hearts.
Oye nos, mi Dios, oye nos, mi Dios, listen to your people, oye nos, mi Dios, oye nos, mi Dios, oye nos, mi Dios, listen to your people, oye nos, mi Dios.
Creator God, who in the very beginning of time breathed life upon the earth, upon creation, that same breath of life, O Creator, is here, is moving, is stirring us, is moving in our midst. God, we thank you for the assurance of your presence. God, we thank you for Thomas, who was an essential worker, who teaches us what faithfulness looks like, what faith in action looks like, and that you, oh God, come to us. Jesus, you come through. You show us and give us assurance. God, we ask today that in all of the places we're in, whatever our doubts are, wherever we are right now, that you would come through, that you would invite us in, that we would have renewed assurance of your presence and healing power in our lives. We thank you, God, for Pastor Kim's word that is still marinating in our hearts and in our minds. May it continue to settle inside of us. May your holy word continue to settle inside of us, that it would grow and that we would take action and sink even deeper into your life and love as a result. We thank you for her powerful word, for the promise that Jesus is coming through and that he offers us peace and breathes life on us and is an advocate in our lives. We ask that you would continue to minister to us through that good word and through your story and the reminder that we all share a story with Thomas. We ask, God, that you would hear the prayers that have been raised today, the cries of our hearts, the suffering that is around us and even in our lives today. Hear us, heal us, comfort us, save us, help us. And God, where we need to step into action and and more concrete acts of love and justice move us out of our places of comfort, move us, embolden us, give us courage, because we all know that in times of fear, we can shrink in that fear too, and we can be discouraged and inactive. So God, if that is where we are, move us out of that place. Move us out of those places. Help us. God, we thank you for your spirit that is always moving. May we grasp that spirit, feel it, and share it. Thank you, God, for Jesus, who is not only coming to us, but is our great teacher and healer. Thank you that he taught us to pray. And so I invite you now, in whatever version you know, if you learn, know it by heart, you can say it in the version you know, or if you need that version, version in front of you, it's on the screen. Let us say the prayer that Jesus taught us together. Our mother, father, parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Yes, Jesus knows, Jesus knows. He lived and died upon the earth, and from that suffering he arose. Yes, Jesus knows, Jesus knows. And he's calling us to live again. Amen. Jesus knows. Jesus knows. Jesus knows.
Well, once again, I want to thank you, Tab, for having me celebrate the word, celebrate what God is doing in all of our lives. Thank you so much, Pastor Katie. Thank you to all of you for your radical hospitality. Let's benedict you. May God's grace and blessings be with you today and always. Go out into the world with the assurance of God's love. Go out into the world in our many spaces and places, in our Zooms and living rooms, dining rooms and bedrooms. Show up for justice. Show up offering peace, showing the love of God, the grace and mercy that God is giving us, and being the breath of the Holy Spirit, the breath of fresh air, be upon you and with you today and forevermore. Amen and amen.
Amen.
I love you.
Love you.